Welcome to A Handful of Hope, where we bring you heart-to-heart conversations with heart-centered people. Hey, hello everyone. My name is Jesse Brisendine, and welcome back to another edition of A Handful of Hope. Today, I am so happy and grateful to have Brock with us, who's been guiding people to experience greater abundance in their lives and deeper meaning in their businesses for over 30 years. He gets great joy discovering the values that drive his clients, setting forth a clear picture of the desired future, and supporting the process of action. Brock has run his own consulting company for the past 22 years. His services include one-on-one strategic business consulting, financial planning to integrate business and personal financial goals, as well as team building workshops. He also spent 5 years as chairman of a nonprofit board for dentists whose charter is to transform our understanding of health and dental health. Currently, Brock lives in Ashland, Oregon with his partner, Mei Lee. He enjoys engaging in the great outdoors with activities such as running, skiing, golfing, and hiking. You can also catch him gardening, reading, and learning how to do projects around the house by watching YouTube tutorials. Welcome, Brock, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jesse. Really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man, absolutely. You know, we were talking off camera before we started rolling here about with so much of the fear that's kind of around in the world right now during this time, much of it is not even necessarily about what's going on right now. Right now, what's going on is kind of a catalyst to it, but much of the fear is existing because people are doing one of two things. They're either imagining these worst case scenarios in the future, or they're looking behind them and afraid that the best has already passed, right? You want to maybe just start on that a little bit and what you were talking about.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me how when we look at our own thought process, we can actually figure out where we are putting ourselves in time, whether it's past, present, or future. And for example, one of the things that's really interesting is when you have someone who's talking to you and says, "Let me tell you what happened to me." And that's a very telling and indicative thing of someone who is, their point of reference is in the past. And it also, there's another part of that that's really, I think, a key to the listening process, which is, this is what happened to me. And versus, this is how I happened to it. And so a lot of times in the past, if everything's a point of reference to the past, it's easy to find ourselves at the effect of what's going on or being upset about what happened in the past versus feel real deep gratification and fulfillment from it. Go ahead.
No, why do you think that is though, Brock? Because I think that's so fascinating. I hear a lot of those, this is what happened, or this happened, you know, there's a lot of that. And why do you think we have such a, and maybe even an obsession is the word, with going back to the past?
I'm going to talk about this a little bit more a little later in our conversation, but I do feel like a big part of that is that we tend to carry a lot of unresolved emotion and feeling or thoughts from what already happened into our present existence. And so this is where people talk about this in lots of different walks of life. This is where completion is so important, is that if we're leaving things incomplete, if we're leaving things undone, we're bringing that into our current moment. And that dictates. And so, for example, one of the things I like to talk with people about on a day in, day out basis is sometimes I'll just have a call from someone, they'll say, I'm feeling angry. And it certainly happens to me too. It's not like I never feel angry, but the curious thing about anger in particular as an emotion is that if we specifically break just that one emotion down, what we can see is that oftentimes anger is being directed outward. But if we really look inside and we ask ourselves, what am I angry about? It's about something unresolved that maybe I didn't take action on at some prior point. And it's like that there's that energy that gets cooped up in our bodies and our psyche of, I'm upset about this because I haven't taken the action yet. And the part of it that I feel, especially now, is important for us to remember is we can harness that energy. As many of my coaches have said to me, anger is a very action-oriented emotion. And it's a great one to harness because we can funnel that energy into something that's extremely positive. And so if we start to look at the other half of what you were talking about, which is looking at the future, there's the same challenge, not the same challenge, but there's a challenge there as well, where if our future, what we're always looking at is we're looking at the uncertainty of it, that can easily push us into a fear-based modality. And so, and fear-based, oftentimes there are a lot of different influences that it has on the way we operate. Sometimes we're just shell-shocked or stuck in place. Sometimes what it is that we're going to start to do things out of avoidance of what might happen rather than going after the things that we want. And that's a big one. I think that one, it's like if you're a snow skier and you decide to go and ski in the trees, there is a huge dynamic difference in the way that you're going to be navigating the hill. If you're in the trees trying to avoid hitting trees versus shooting the gap. And that's the difference between an avoidance strategy and really just getting clear on what you want and going for. And so this is another thing in our world today, at this moment, where when we're looking forward, there's so much uncertainty. I have clients that they got the word 2 weeks ago that they couldn't go back to work until June 15th. And that's just a shocker. These are people who are used to having small businesses and they employ a bunch of people and they feel responsible for their lives and they feel invested in the success of the people that work with them. They're also concerned about the people that they serve, you know, their clientele, their patients. And with all of this uncertainty, the question is, how do I navigate the future?
You know, Brock, the image that came to mind for me as you were talking is I had this image of, you know, those medieval contraptions that they put you on where your arms would be bound and your legs would be bound. They turn the wheel and you're getting stretched in one way. It splits you apart, right?
Right.
And that might be kind of graphic, but it's almost like here's the past pulling on one side, here's the future and pulling on one side. And this tug of war, what happens is in that image that came to me is it's everything is pulling you away from being able to handle what you could do right now.
Right.
And I wonder, like, I love what you said, an avoidance strategy, right? So often so much of this emotion builds up in past and future because there's things we've been avoiding. We have this reference point of something we should have done or we wish we could have done. And we didn't do it. And so we harness that, we bring it in the present. Now we have the other emotion going to the future. I've been telling people that I think one of the great gifts that can come from right now is it gives us an opportunity to really be where our feet are. Yes. And if we're able to gather that energy that's going externally and put it internally, I don't, you know, this is kind of a loaded question that's pretty broad, but what's the benefit that can come from that? For somebody who's always been in the past or always been in the future, maybe they've just never been able to figure out how to be present and what they could potentially do or accomplish. Maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
I think that there is a great paradox to what you're talking about right now. And the paradox is, it's a simple paradox in terms of the concept, but working through it is kind of challenging because we have to use present time. We have to use this moment to either resolve things from the past or plan things for the future or direct our lives for the future. So that's a present moment activity. And so, for example, if I'm angry, I can use this present moment to really recognize I have that anger and figure out what I'm going to do with it. How am I going to let that anger, how can I let it dissipate? How can I take it and direct it into something that's constructive right now? So, for example, sometimes I'll use a different emotion because this happens to me a lot. I work with a lot of long-term relationships. And so oftentimes it just feels like things are kind of unresolved because we're always working in the middle of it with my clients. So financial planning is very much that way. You know, it's a lifetime plan. And we're right in the middle of it. And so I find that with that happening with my life, sometimes I just feel like nothing's complete and I have to do something that I can actually complete. And, so you can pick a lot of activities that feel good that way. I mean, washing the dishes. My partner and I, Mei Li, were joking about this the other day. We were trying to get some things done with the banks, but, you know, responding to everything that's going on in the environment, trying to get in touch with people, getting put on hold or just plain cut off. And we ended up saying, okay, this might not be the time to be trying to do this because we're not accomplishing any of it. So why don't we just go ahead and we'll make a dish instead. And it was really funny because I was laughing because I said, you know what? I just completed peeling that carrot. And that felt really good because it's done. Rather than have this unresolved feeling. On the other side of it, the paradox of talking about the future, you know, really to me what that has to do with is you using this moment to envision, what do I want to see happen? And it can start big. To bring it into something actionable, though, we have to, once we've got the big picture, we need to take it to smaller and smaller items. And a simple example of that is, even though we can't do this right now, if we were going to plan a trip.
Yeah.
Is that you think about it in those terms. The vision is, I want to go to Alaska. And from there, there's all of this smaller and smaller choices that get made. And I think of it as, if you're going to go on your vision, if that's up here, where we need to start is we need to provision. And that provisioning is what really attends to all the details before we start the journey. And then everything that's unknown is in between, right? I mean, if you've ever done international travel, especially, you just have no idea what's going to happen in between. You have an idea, but the better provisioning you do to get there, the better off you are. And that's using present time to plan for the future.
That's fascinating because, so it's, the idea is with past and stuff coming up is there's this incomplete feeling. So do something, and it doesn't necessarily have to be related to that, which was a feeling of incomplete, but do something to gift yourself with the gift of completion, like the peeling of the carrot, right?
Exactly.
And then with the future, it's not sitting in the uncertainty of it, which is what so many of us struggle with, but it's creating a vision. It doesn't matter how big or small it is. And I love the idea of planning for a trip because I think all of us have that postcard on a refrigerator, right, of where we'd love to go. And before that voice kicks in and says, well, you're not going to get there now because of what's going on in the world, just grab the pen and paper and write it down as if you were. And it doesn't mean you have to go in 3 months or 6 months. You might just write it down without putting a timeline on it, but just put in the steps of what it would look like to get there.
Yeah, I mean, right now it might be that a better vision is I want to do my raised bed gardening.
Yeah.
That would be, you know, for people who have a lot of experience gardening, it's probably not quite as challenging as someone who doesn't do it on a regular basis, but there's a lot of planning and insight that goes into how you plant a raised bed garden. And again, because we're kind of stay at home, it might be that, this is a great opportunity for me to do some cleanups on aisle three.
Yeah.
Because all of us have clutter and junk that accumulates eventually. And so it's great to clear those out. Now, I just thought about this, you know, in this conversation, and I want to cover this one because I think this is the other one. If we talk about really just getting present, that's the other thing that you see. I mean, there have been books and books and workshops about this. And what Mei Li and I did the other day is we did a garden walk on our own property. And the reason we did the walk in part was because we were just curious. The value that was driving it was curiosity. It's spring. Things are starting to sprout. What's going on out there? Let's check it out. And so that was, you've got curiosity and discovery, and we were engaged and immersed in the moment. We weren't thinking about the past or the future.
How does someone know, Brock, if they're being present? Because it's kind of a funny question to ask, because hearing you say that, like, I can feel you're being present to the experience you're describing. And I think a lot of people may not even understand what that means or wouldn't even know what to look for or what to tune. They've probably stumbled in and out of it at different times. But how does somebody know when they're being present?
I feel like this is a very personal experience. Hmm. And again, the funny thing about being present is sometimes what I'll do is if I'm going to wash my hands, the first thing that I want to become present to is what's the temperature of the water. And I want to really feel that water on my hands. There are things that we go through all day long like that, where it's maybe it's a tactile feel of something. Some people, what they do is meditate. And I can, it's really interesting because, again, I find that to be a tremendous paradox, is I'm getting present through actually maybe an internal visualization, right? Or some type of an abstract process. If I'm imagining I'm a tree, for example, that's a total abstraction, but I can be really present imagining I'm a tree. So again, that's another example of how a meditative process can get us present. Jesse, your audience might not know this, but you were my personal trainer for so long. You got me really present, man. Okay, two more sets or two more reps. That gets you right there really fast. So there are a lot of pathways. And I think it's mostly being there when you're doing it.
Mm. Yeah, full disclosure, Brock and I have been dear friends now for, gosh, nearly 15 years. And we have a great deal of history together and have been through different iterations in each other's life. And it's funny, I remember back to that time, I did personal training. For those of you who don't know, I did personal training before I made this transition into now. And I always loved training Brock because he was one of those people that when you said, you're not done yet, five more, say jump, he would say, okay, how high? Brock, you and I have, that's a great segue into this. Over the years, you and I have had a lot of really, really valuable conversations for me about energy and emotion and how emotion is energy, energy is emotion, right? They're interchangeable, one the same. And that you were mentioning to me before about this idea of energy gatherers, how we're all energy gatherers. Maybe speak to that a little bit, because I think it's such a fascinating, not only concept, but I think it's a fascinating model of how we could look at ourselves and how we interact in the world.
How we frame things determines in a great way how we communicate to ourselves about them. And I think we all know this just inherently. And part of, in my life, one of the things that seems to have gained a lot of traction is the idea of stress. Hmm. And it's got such a negative, heavy, I'm stressed out. And people express that they're stressed. And so I think it only took me about 25 years of thinking about this to come up with something that gave me an alternative way of thinking about it.
You were really hurry on that one. Huh?
I was just a pace, let me tell you. So I realized, though, that after a series of conversations that I'd had about it in a really condensed period of time, that people were kind of expressing the same thing with different words. But what it came down to is that as human beings, I think that we are tremendous energy gatherers. And we do this in many different facets. It's not just a single thing. We want it to be easy and simple, but this is actually fairly complex in the idea of it. But simple, I guess, in the expression. We gather energy physically as time goes on. We gather energy mentally or intellectually. We gather energy emotionally. And all of this gathering happens. And as humans, I feel like what we really need is expression of all of those three types, especially. You can probably think of other ones. But if you think of the physical, what happens is that if we're gathering energy and we're not spending it, we're just keeping it inside, the natural evolution of that is going to be, we're going to be stressed out because it needs to be spent. That's an account that we can't just let continue to build up and build up and build up. We have to express it. Emotional stress is the same way. It's like one of my friends used to say, geez, there's a lot more room on the outside than there is on the inside. But yeah, it's like all of this. So the fascinating thing is that how do we take that energy buildup, especially when we're being all told to stay at home, right? And how am I now going to take what used to be some habits that I did in order to spend the energy and take it somewhere else to a different habit? Hmm. And I really love this idea of stress is, that's my dashboard light that comes on. If I start to feel that, tension or stress, that's my dashboard light saying time to spend energy.
Hmm.
And so if we could see it that clearly, then the question becomes, okay, in the new normal for now, while we're essentially quarantining and staying at home, what am I going to do? Hmm. And some of the solutions, there are a lot of weight-based exercise routines out there. The 7-minute workout is one of them that Neely and I have enjoyed in the past. Again, going and doing a garden hike. We have a little bit of elevation on our property, so you can get your heart rate up pretty good. Whether it's running your own stairs in your house, I mounted a speed bag out in my garage, and I love to just go out and work out on that. Jump rope, things. We could do a million things in place. And anyway, the point is that when we're feeling ourselves gathering all this energy, it's our body is just telling us we need to spend it. And the one exception to this is, and I wanted to just touch on this because of my background in financial planning. The one place that we want to gather energy is financially right now.
Hmm.
And one of the things that we've been doing is we've been looking at what are all of the ways that we can get more lean in the way that we're spending our money. Frankly, it's really easy, just like our garage, for our economic situation to get a little bit messy and a little bit cluttered. And this has been a great opportunity for us to look at every single item that we're spending money on and determining, as far as that adding meaning in my life right now, is it a 10? A 10 being absolutely, this is something that delivers the value that I need in my life right now. And if it's not cutting the 10, if it's anything less than that right now, especially, we're being really, really brutal about taking anything out that's not. And so that's another thing that I think that it's an important inventory item for us to be looking at, because on the financial side, we want to be energy gatherers. That's what, saving money is all about. I had a financial planner one time say, yeah, it's like getting fat, creating stores that I'm going to use later financially.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people who don't really even have an opportunity right now to get fat. What they need to do is they actually need to lean it out in order to just make it through the next 3 months. And so really important time to do that and to look at where the resources are, for you to take care of these next 3 months and stay lean on the spending side.
I loved what you said about when you start to feel yourself getting stressed, that's your kind of dashboard going off saying time to spend energy. And then to contrast that with the financial aspect of looking to lean out, I find that with myself, I've been having this wonderful opportunity to take inventory of, and I think I live fairly lean anyways, and then I look at some of the like miscellaneous stuff I do that are not even things that serve me or the things that matter most to me, but they're completely, they're like boredom purchases or pleasurable, right, investments versus because I'll get so disconnected from something like this, which really brings me much more joy. And then because I'm so disconnected from this or distracted from it, I'll turn to, you know, Netflix or something like that to watch something that doesn't bring me nearly as much joy, but it just is a, it serves as a vehicle to help me pass the time.
Yeah.
And then when I sit there and look at it and say, do I really, you know, does this really bring a high level of value to my life? Or if I do that for 2 hours a week, could I bring a greater level of joy and meaning into my life by doing 2 hours of something like this?
Yeah, that's it's really great, because I think that goes right to the heart of what we're talking about here, is what it kind of circles back to is we get to, there are things happening and it might feel like it's happening to us, where it's not really happening to us. It's just, it's what's happening. But the only remedy that we have in order to counterbalance that is to look at our choices. Where do I have a choice? And what can I do to exercise that choice? And I love that. It's do I want to watch Netflix right now, or do I want to make a Netflix right now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great way to just be looking at what's the choice that's going to add meaning to my life.
I love that. You know, I just started rereading Man's Search for Meaning. I thought it was a very appropriate one to read during this time. And it's been a few years since I read it, but just starting off about the quest of meaning and how important that is. There's the idea, right? We're all meaning makers.
Yes.
And right now, people may or may not realize how they're making meaning in their life. And the meanings they're making is part of the source of stress, fear, anxiety, all those types of things. If you could distill down to one thing that people could start to do to maybe make a greater meaning in their life, maybe it's a meaning they're not even aware of, they have the power to make, what could they do? Where would they look for that?
Well, that, you know, that's a, okay. So one of the things that I like to have people do is take personal inventory, because there are so many different facets, like I was saying earlier, being human. And, you know, sometimes what happens is that I need to be drawn in to physical activity because that's what's most important. That's what's the most on top of my mind right now. So that becomes an access. So sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's intellectual. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's relationship. And you can take each one of these areas, and the way that I do it is I just say on a 1 to 10, where am I in these areas? And by the way, I have 2 pages of these, and I still feel like that's the short list. But it's just really weighing in and looking at, where do I feel healthy, or where do I feel neutral, or where do I feel unhealthy? And for the areas where I'm feeling healthy, maybe that's not where I need to delve into meaning. Or perhaps I feel really healthy and that is a great place to go just because I have so much momentum. On the other hand, if I've got a place that's really deficit that I'm not paying attention to, you know, so for example, if I'm just feeling like I'm in a spiritual desert right now, maybe that's what the direction I need to go is to look for activity that is going to connect me. In a way spiritually that I want to be connected. So I feel like that, you know, you're asking a very specific question and I'm giving you maybe a broad answer, but I feel like the first place to start is we need to be asking ourselves what's going on inside of me. This is a matter of self-inventory, self-understanding in order for us to make the meaningful choice.
I love that. Brock, 3 quick questions to close out. People are at home right now. They have some extra time that they may not have had anymore. And just say, give them some extra resources to explore if they so choose. If you could recommend one podcast that people listen to during this time, what podcast would you recommend?
Ooh, I don't know if it's actually a podcast. I spend a lot more time on YouTube. Does that count?
Yeah, that'll totally count. Yeah.
I'm totally biased to comedy, And so I've been looking for fun, entertaining comedy stuff. But I did see this recent, the one that I saw yesterday that I really liked were these two guys playing acoustic guitar on a TED Talk. Hmm. And I can't even tell you what the name of it is, but it was awesome. These guys were just ripping it up, and they finished with, they did three songs and they finished with the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Hmm.
And it was almost like their guitars, they're two guys playing acoustic guitar. It was like the guitars were singing.
That's incredible.
So that would be a good one.
Okay. A book you'd recommend people read?
Oh, geez. I like The War of Art.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve and Pressfield.
Movie or documentary you'd recommend people watch?
Oh, let's see. Movie or documentary. Hmm. I have a hard time with this, Jesse, because I don't have favorites. And I like all sorts of things. And I have a wide array of... I'm a complete sucker for Game of Thrones.
It could be very appropriate for right now.
Yeah, I watched all the Lord of the Rings stuff, so I've done that. Star Wars I love. See, I'm adventure and fantasy and all that stuff, definitely. The thing that makes it a train wreck for me is that we go to the Ashland Independent Film Festival, and there are just tons of great documentaries. Actually, I might as well keep it at home. Watch Phoenix, Oregon.
Phoenix, Oregon. Okay.
That's a great movie. You'll love it. It'll make you laugh.
Thanks. All right, everybody. As always, I think you're going to want to rewatch this one a few times. There is so much great ideas, content, and wisdom here from the idea of where we're sitting our energy up past and present, past, present, and future, in that to get out of some of that struggle is to give yourself the gift of completion. You know, just, I love the idea of just shredding a carrot and saying, I completed shredding a carrot. And, you know, those things that same time seem so silly or insignificant in the midst of everything that's going on in the outside world, they often can be the most significant things for you in that moment to get you out of a state of struggle into a more resourceful state where you feel like you have some control over right now. I love the idea of when you start to feel stressed to not look at it as stress, but to embrace it instead as your energy dashboard saying, going off and saying, I need to spend some energy, whether that's going for a walk, doing some exercise, writing freehand, book reading, meditating, whatever that is for you. But just recognize that right now we're all gathering a lot of energy from a lot of different sources, and that we want to make sure we're spending that energy, except for when we get to the financial realm, where this is a really wonderful opportunity to look at how can we lean ourselves out? You know, where are some of the things that we might waste money on, the things that we're doing to pass the time that really don't bring meaning to our lives? And meaning, my goodness, if there's any one thing you want to dive into right now more than ever, it's dive into the idea of meaning and begin to explore, as Brock laid out, those things that bring meaning to your life. I loved how he talked about just to be present too, with the idea of washing his hands and being aware of the water temperature. If we really take that time to be present and to decide what brings meaning to my life, and also what meaning am I making of other things in my life, I think that right now, and Brock would probably agree with me on this, I'm going to put him on the spot anyways, is that this really unique time in history could be one of the most impactful and profound in our lives, because we're going to make a meaning out of it no matter what. And really decide for your future, when life goes back to the new normal, what kind of meaning you want to live in, and be sure to find ways to spend that energy. So Brock, this was absolutely incredible, my friend. Thank you so much for sharing so generously. As always, it's an honor to share time with you, and I deeply appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time on another edition of A Handful of Hope. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you're finding value in these conversations, please rate and review on Apple, Google, Stitcher, or wherever your favorite place is to listen to.